The Lord be with you.
Also
if you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of morning prayer today. And welcome to all who are joining us online in different places. It's great to have you worshiping with us, and you're very welcome wherever you are joining us from this morning. And I want to say a special word of welcome today to Claire Holmes from SAMS, who will be sharing about the work of the South American Missionary Society in our service today. Claire, you're really, really welcome, and we're delighted to have you with us. On your way into church this morning, you'll have seen, hopefully, all the notices for the week that is to come. Just going to highlight one or two things that don't happen every week, just that you're aware of them. On Wednesday afternoon, our Ladies Afternoon Friendship Group are meeting at 2 o'clock. And on Saturday morning, between 9 and 11, we're having another of the monthly work parties around the grounds of the church. So if you're free between 9 and 11 and you can help us in that way, we're always glad for more people to help in that work. So everybody's welcome, 9 to 11 on Saturday morning. Our services next Sunday, our Holy Communion at 9 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, a service of wholeness and healing. And next Sunday evening at 7, the service of evening prayer. This is the time of year when we normally renew our register of vestry persons. So if you have never been a member of any other church and you would like to become a member here, there are forms which are available from the church wardens at the back of the church. And if you'd like to become a member here, just ask them for one of those forms, and we would be delighted to add your name to the register. And that enables you then to vote at our annual business meeting, the Easter General Vestry, and to take a full part in church life. We're going to begin our service today and sing our opening hymn of praise. We're going to sing hymn number 24, All Creatures of Our God and King, verses 1, 3, 5, and 7.
Thank you.
Our service this morning is the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear His holy word proclaimed, to bring before Him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of His Spirit we may serve Him and know the greatness of His love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We're going to join together now to say our psalm, which is appointed for today. It's a psalm that speaks of the Lord's presence with us, even in times of challenge and fear. We're going to say Psalm 27, verses 1 to 12. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not be afraid. And though there rise up war against me, yet will I put my trust in him. One thing have I asked of the Lord, and that alone I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the fair beauty of the Lord, and to seek his will in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he shall hide me in his shelter. In the secret place of his dwelling shall he hide me, and set me high upon a rock. And now shall he lift up my head above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his dwelling an oblation with great gladness. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice, O Lord, when I call. Have mercy upon me and answer me. My heart tells of your word. Seek my face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not your face from me, nor cast your servant away in displeasure. You have been my helper. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. And if you'd like to be seated for our first reading.
Our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, and starting at verse 1. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by way of the sea, along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. This is the word of the Lord.
We're delighted this morning to have Claire Holmes with us from Psalms. And just by means of a little bit of context about Psalms, and we have had a link in the church with Psalms over quite a number of years, we're going to see a short video about the history of how the society was founded.
South American Mission Society started with Captain Alan Gardner. He sailed with the British Navy in the 1840s. He traveled many times around the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans. After giving his life to the Lord Jesus, he knew he had to return to the people who lived at the far south of the great continent of South America. These people also needed to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Patagonia and the remote southern island of Terra del Fuego had been forgotten about. But God had not forgotten these people. He was about to send them people with the good news of the gospel. Captain Allen and his small crew of three people landed on a remote beach in Terra del Fuego. But their plans took a turn for the worse. These visitors brought an important message of hope, but they were not welcomed. In fact, they were discouraged at every turn. The local people stole their supplies and left them with nothing. Things got worse when a support vessel never arrived. All the while, Alan Gardner kept his diary and continued to see the goodness and graciousness of God in his calling to go to these forgotten and ignored people. Tragically, several months later, he and his companions succumbed to the cold and the morbid hunger. All was lost. They had paid the ultimate sacrifice in the name of the gospel. The supply ship had eventually arrived, hoping in their wildest dreams that somehow they would find the men alive. Instead, all they found were their remains. Saddened, they collected the men's things, including Alan Gardner's diary, and returned back home. Something remarkable happened. When they arrived back to England, the tragic story of life lost at the end of the earth in the name of the gospel stirred something in the hearts of church people back in England. After the news of this recent event was published in the London Times, more men and women said they would go to Patagonia. Their goal was to follow in Alan Gardner's wake and put their feet in his footsteps, as they too went to the ends of the earth to tell of the gospel of their Lord and Saviour. The Patagonian Mission Society was formed from this seed. The first church was established in Ushuaia 15 years after Alan Gardner's death. A new bishop's vision meant that Anglican churches would soon spread from here gradually up the cone of South America into Argentina and Chile, and then later into Paraguay, Peru, Uruguay, Bolivia and Brazil.
Do you remember the words that Jesus said in John chapter 12? Truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Alan Gardner and his companions were a modern-day parable as they perished on a cold, forsaken beach. But the Lord was able to take what was lost and turn it into a harvest of lives. We can continue to be part of this story, offering the Lord our lives as we trust him to bring about the harvest. Psalms is committed to continue in partnering with the church in South America with the same conviction that Alan Gardner had, that Jesus Christ is the hope of the world to the ends of the world.
Well, So as we hear of Captain Alan Gardner and all that he brought in terms of his life to South America, we're going to sing our next hymn. And during the singing of this hymn, the children and young people will be leaving us for Sunday school, and we want to wish them well as they go out this morning. We're going to sing hymn 600, "The Wise May Bring Their Learning."
Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 4, and starting at verse 12. When Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. The land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets, and Jesus called to them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. This is the word of the Lord.
We are all aware that the last couple of years have been very difficult years all right across the world. And on Wednesday, the 1st of February, we're hoping to begin our second sanctuary course. It's a course that helps people just to come together to discuss challenges around the issue of mental health, and to do so in a safe space. It's going to happen in the coffee bar. It's going to run over 8 weeks, And there's a little video just to tell you a little bit about this sanctuary course. And if you're interested, have a word with Andy or I after the service.
Something had happened that triggered so much anxiety for me that my mind couldn't stop and I was getting increasingly depressed. I felt like life was about to end.
I was struggling with anorexia and bulimia. I was so broken.
I'm not in any danger and I'm just breathing like something bad had fully happened.
I thought, I'm always sad. If you dig deep, there'll be this river of sadness that flows underneath everything.
Sense of the world closing in on me. Horrible, horrible experience.
I started to have delusions. I was not reading reality properly. I was really scared.
I felt there's no reality.
It's hard to see a way that this could be different, but hang in there, get help, because it really can be different.
The way I performed or looked externally didn't seem to align with what other people thought depression looked like. They're like, oh, well, you're okay. Oh, well, you're in school. Oh, you're getting A's. You're fine.
Culturally, mental health issues is just not recognized in the Asian American experience. There was certainly a kind of a stigma attached to it.
I felt so much shame. I couldn't let somebody else into that world.
It's critical to normalize. Don't stick our heads in the sand and not recognizing there is someone in your congregation that is dealing with some issue related to mental health.
We all need to lament together, articulating our sadness and recognizing that even in our sadness, God is there.
Your struggles, your suffering, your diagnoses do not exclude you from belonging. Those things are welcome to be talked about.
Resist the temptation to seclude, to stigmatize people experiencing mental health challenges. Listen deeply, come alongside, and treat as a holistic, multifaceted person.
Mental health is important because it cuts to the very heart of our experience of being human beings.
Do some work and do some learning. Find empathy and compassion for real people having real experiences.
When there is a hand that can guide you through God, it will be inspiring to know that there's someone there who may be able to help you.
God is here, and I think a really good church community would say, and we are here too.
So let's stand together now, and we're going to affirm our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Our special collect prayer for this morning. Almighty God, whose Son revealed in signs and miracles the wonder of your saving presence, renew your people with your heavenly grace, and in all our weakness, sustain us by your mighty power, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Our next hymn, which we're going to sing together, reminds us of the light of God's love shining in the darkness. We sing together hymn 195, Lord, the light of your love is shining.
Let us pray. Lord, thank you that you are the light of the world, and we pray that through your word and your spirit, you will help us to know you more clearly, help us to love you more dearly, and help us to follow you more nearly for your sake and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. It's really lovely to be with you this morning. Thank you for the warm welcome. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you also for your involvement with SAMS over years, and it all makes a big difference, so thank you. I have been involved with SAMS for over 30 years, and I've spent over 20 years in Paraguay teaching in a Christian school in the capital for over 4 years, and then working with a church in a market town in a more remote area for over 16 years. And now I'm back in Northern Ireland, and working part-time for SAMS and part-time with another mission at home as well. And mission has changed a lot during that time. We all know the changes over the past 30 years. Travel and communication are easier. Short-term mission has grown, which is great. And at the same time, there are fewer people who are coming forward for long-term mission. That, by the way, is still needed. The other really good thing is as national leadership grows and with good communications and with technology, there are many opportunities to support local leadership and churches in South America. So this morning I'm going to talk a wee bit about the passage in Matthew and illustrate it with some stories from Psalms and from South America. I always said when I was in South America that you're really never quite sure what you will see next or what will happen next. How many people on a motorbike? 7 was the most I saw. I also once saw a worker in a supermarket. He had removed some of the stuff from the bottom shelf of the shelves and was having a little siesta. The boss wasn't in that day, so you never knew what you would see next. And one day that was also one of those moments, unexpected, was I was on my way home to Northern Ireland, and I was at the airport in Brazil, and it was getting close to boarding time, and we were at the indicated terminal, at the indicated gate. It even said at the gate our flight number, but there weren't any details coming up in the overhead board. And we started, as the time got closer, to get a bit worried when there was nobody about. And we saw some pilots that had incidentally changed the terminal and changed the gate. We didn't know that, but we saw some pilots and we thought we would go and ask them if they knew anything about our flight. They said, "Well, we are your pilots and we're looking for the plane as well. But follow us and we'll get there. The plane isn't going anywhere without us." And we followed with confidence because they were the pilots. But we had to trust them. We had to want to go with them. And we had to stay close to them. And we did. And we got there. And it's the same in the context of mission. Trust, go, and stay close to the Lord. There's a quote which says, "The spirit of Christ is the spirit of missions. The nearer we get to him, the more intensely missionary we become." He wants us to follow him, to stay close, and to be part of his mission. And mission isn't just for a few who are called to go far away. It's for all God's people. There's a quote that says, "It is the whole business of the whole church to preach the whole gospel to the whole world." The whole business of the whole church to preach the whole gospel to the whole world. And thanks to you for your part in that. It led Alan Gardner to give his life in a cave in Chile, as we heard. It led me to Paraguay. It leads people to pray, to give, to serve, to teach Sunday school, to be a light in their community. And let's look at the God we see in this passage. Let's look at Jesus and what we see of his heart and his priorities. And I'll share some stories from South America as well as we look at the different points. Point number one is share the good news, preach and teach. This passage makes it clear that Jesus is the light of the world. And a life without him is a life of spiritual darkness, a life without hope. Jesus preached. He proclaimed the good news of the kingdom. He proclaimed salvation from sins when people turn from their sins and turn to him. And it's good news that in Jesus there's light and life and hope for today, tomorrow, forever. And helping to enable the sharing of that good news is at the heart of Psalms. It's at the heart of the things that I'm going to tell you about. We'll look at the first slide. Some parts of South America, the church has grown rapidly. Chile is one of those places. It's got a theological college where people, leaders, come from different parts of South America to train there. But in other parts of South America, for a variety of reasons, there's a real lack of leadership. And most of the countries, the churches are investing in raising up new leaders. And this is something that SAM supports. There's a fund and there's money sent out each year to each diocese to help support the training of leaders. This photo shows a group in Peru. They're training and studying for leadership in the church. And in this, they're on their way to an intensive training fortnight held in Chile. They were so grateful for the opportunity to go there and receive nurture and training. So please pray that God will raise up leaders and sustain them. People two, point one, preach the good news. And now leading to point two, people who will help others to grow in their faith, to make disciples. And that's point two, make disciples, follower of Jesus. In the Gospels, we hear of different types of followers. There were those who followed Jesus, let's say, from afar. The Bible talks about crowds following him, maybe for interest, to hear what he said, to see what he did, curiosity, some for self-interest. He fed the hungry, he healed the sick, and many left him when the going got tough. But there were also those who followed him with everything. The disciples that were named here in the passage in Matthew we read about, Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, followed Jesus completely. They were fishermen. They would already have known about Jesus and probably known him a bit. But there was something irresistible about those three words, come, follow me. Jesus' heart was for people, for mission. And when he called them, he was calling them to follow him closely, just like we followed the pilots closely, to learn from him. And Jesus had a plan and a purpose for them. He said, come to me and I will send you out to fish for people. Jesus wanted multiplication and he wanted to use his followers in that. The next slide, there's a school. The school I taught in, it's called St. Andrew's College. It's about to have its 60th anniversary. It's a private school. It's expensive. It's attended by the wealthy. From the age to 3 to 18, they get an education, the Paraguayan system. They learn English, and they also get a Christian education. During their studies, their time there, they study all the Bible. They're prayed for. And the school also involves them in projects to help them to have a heart for their own country and for those who are poorer and needy. The prayer has always been as well that they will influence their country for good. And the president of Paraguay, the current president of Paraguay, is an ex-pupil of the school. And this photo shows that the pupils from the school got presents which were then sent to indigenous communities where the children have little or nothing, probably wouldn't get a present ever, but this was a present sent to them with the love to show them the love of God. Making disciples. The next one is San Juan, the next photo, and that is where I worked, the other part I worked in Paraguay. It's a rural community, and for years a family held a church just in their patio. There was no building, but they faithfully met week after week. Tita, the lady, used to get the 6:30 a.m. bus in the morning to Concepcion once a week to take part in the discipleship group that I did. And teams went out from here to serve in the church. People prayed for them. The couple were faithful for years without seeing much growth. And the man died, Tita's husband died, and she thought the church would end. But all of a sudden, it started to grow. Families started to come, and now there are about 40 people going regularly. This is a group of children and young people with a book about discipleship. God is faithful. So preach the good news, make disciples, and the last thing is practical love. We didn't read it this morning, but the next bit of the passage talks about how Jesus healed the sick and oppressed. Jesus cared for people, the whole person. He cared about their spiritual suffering, their sickness, their oppression. He spent time. He had compassion. He cried. He touched. He healed. He cared enough to do something about it. And that's the third bit, caring for people. Practical love, practical care and help is such an important part of Psalms and God's mission. And this is what a church in Santiago, Chile is doing. We'll see the next slide. The next two. Bishop Nelson was over here in August, and he's auxiliary bishop and pastor of a church, and there's a big hospital opened up near the church, and they wanted to reach out. So they said to the hospital, what can we do to help? And they said, we would like help in the maternity unit. They help provide nappies, food, and medicines to poor people. Often medicines aren't provided by the hospital, so people have to buy them and maybe don't have the means to. They work with a lot of refugees, and there was one refugee who was going to lose her child just because she didn't have a safe place to bring the baby home to. And the church helped to find her a safe place, and today her child is with her because of that care. And at Christmas, the last slide, they took Christmas dinners to the hospital and into poor areas to share and show the love of Jesus. And Sam's Ireland was able to be part of that. So just to finish off, let's go back to the disciples. When Jesus called them, did their lives change? Yes. They left their nets, their boats, their livelihood, their father, and followed Jesus. They left it all. They trusted him. They wanted to go with him and stay close to him. They were prepared to come and to go. And the call of Jesus is for us too, to follow him and go to his mission field. Are we all going to go far away? No. Are we all called to leave families and jobs? No. But when we belong to Christ and follow him, he wants to use us for his glory and the good of others. We can all make a difference. And thank you again for the difference that you're making. And for the last minute, I'm just going to say a few ways that we can. Prayer makes such a difference. And Psalms has different ways. There's Psalms Zoom prayer once a month. There is prayer requests that go out. Giving, it makes a difference. Serving in church, in the community, it makes a difference. Family, the first 12 years of my life, more than that really, but my parents investing in me and teaching me about mission made such a difference. We can go near and far. There's short-term mission opportunities, there's longer term as well. We need teachers actually. And lastly, Friday Night Live on the 3rd of February, there's a wee magazine at the back. It's got one of the stories I told. It's got about Bishop Nelson, and it's got an invitation to Friday Night Live on the 3rd of February. So, break my heart for what breaks yours. His heart is for mission or ours. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your heart for mission. We pray that you will put your heart in us. Help us to love you, to follow you, to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's continue in prayer this morning. And some of the prayer points this morning have come from Sam's own website, which is full of lovely prayer resources that can be found easily. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to hear about Psalms this morning. Thank you for Claire. Thank you for her clear way of putting things across. And we pray that you would be with her today and strengthen her as she goes on and carries on her work with Psalms, telling people about your call and your gospel. We pray for Psalms themselves as an organization, as they seek with their missionaries to embed and share the words and work of Christ in South America. We pray for energy for missionaries and for administrators as they carry out and answer your call. We pray for their work in Uruguay and for the bishop there as the church grows and your love is shared with the community. And we also pray for the church in North Argentina as it makes transitions and those local leaders, maybe some that we saw on screen, take over and the church gains a local face and embeds itself in that community. Heavenly Father, we pray for the work in schools. We pray for the children there who are looked after and for special needs children in schools, particularly in Lima. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Heavenly Father, in the light of what we've heard today, we pray for ourselves There's a call on all of us to love you and to love our neighbors. And there's a call to do this wherever we're called to go, be it in our own street or somewhere like South America. And if there's anyone here or online who feels that they have a tug in their heart when they hear these stories, we pray that they will be brave enough and bold enough just to consider this for longer and even to have the conversation with someone like Claire. We pray for the church worldwide that it would embrace both local and world mission. And in this, we pray for unity and love within the body of Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for this country that we live in. We pray for leadership and good leadership, that decisions can be made that will mean that we have a just society, especially for those in need. We pray that there will be guidance and stability and certainty around issues like the Northern Ireland Protocol. We pray that there will be good leadership around issues of fuel prices and food prices. Heavenly Father, these are the things that we need guidance on, and we need people in place with a heart to serve and a heart for those in need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Heavenly Father, we pray for our community and our church. We pray for Bishop David as he oversees the different things that happen in the diocese. We pray for him and for his family. We pray for ourselves as we meet our neighbors and speak with our neighbors. We pray for opportunities to invite our neighbors to church services and to share God's love and words with them. We thank you for the lovely evening we had on Friday at our Connect concert. And as Connect services restart in February, we thank you for the opportunity to praise you and worship you in a variety of ways. And we pray that people from the neighborhood will come and will learn more of your love and more of your gospel. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for the sick and those who are hurting and those who are in trouble of any sort. We think especially as Sanctuary starts again of those who are living with anxiety or depression or other difficulties in the way that they think and perceive and experience the world. May we have compassion on them. May we be open to speaking about these things. And may the right people find and go and enjoy and find solace in the Sanctuary course. Heavenly Father, we pray for the hungry and the lonely. May we be tools and an instrument that you use to reach out to those people. And we pray for those who are frightened and those who are in mourning. Heavenly Father, comfort those in need and use us whenever you can. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we gather these prayers together knowing that we speak to a Father who hears us, and we pray these things believing. And we share the words of the prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
So we're going to join together now to sing our next hymn. And our next hymn is really a prayer for every Christian, that we would be people who are agents of Jesus' hope and his courage and his encouragement in a broken world. We're going to sing hymn 494, Beauty for Brokenness, and we sing the chorus after the first and last verses only. So just before our final blessing, we want to say thank you again to Claire for all that she shared with us this morning. And if you'd like to have a conversation with Claire, there's the opportunity to do that in tea and coffee after the service, which will be served down in the church hall. Thank you to everybody who has worshipped with us online. And we're going to just bow our heads for God's blessing as we go out into the week that is to come. We ask him to be with us and to shine through us. May Christ the Son be manifest to you, that your lives may be a light to the world, and may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you today and always. Our closing hymn this morning is a prayer that our lives would be lived in God's service. As we sing hymn 597, Take My Life and Let It Be.